Hello and welcome to We the People, your favorite weekly Nintendo podcast. My name is Michael Cottrell, joined by my twin brother Matthew. Say hello. Give a nice hearty whatever greeting they give in Minecraft.
Oh, I don't know. What do they do? I don't play Minecraft. I have no idea.
I don't think they do greetings in Minecraft.
Is it the... All right, that's the food noise.
Yeah, that's great.
Hello.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that whole Minecraft Smash Brothers crossover in a second here. But first, just wanted to mention, if you are new to the show, we just go through the week of Nintendo news. I know that's nothing new, but we like to put our own humorous little spin on it and give our own little takes. We also have a Let's Play presence on YouTube with Cottrello Games. And if you like this show, leave us a review on your podcast service of choice. But welcome. We won't bore you with too much preamble. Let's jump in with this Minecraft Smash Brothers announcement. So there I was, Matthew, this morning, sipping on Chick-fil-A's new cold brew at Trevor's place. And I was we were watching this little thing together, and you know, to take you through the trailer, not to do a whole reaction video or anything, but you know, it opens with a bunch of third-party characters fighting with Mario and Peach, and then Pikachu. Sonic smashes Mario. He crashes through the wall, and both Matthew and I said the literal moment that Mario crashes through the wall and I see the curvature of the blocks, I'm like, Minecraft. Which I think I gotta stop ruining these trailers for Trevor, because he's not like as up on following video game news as I am.
We
saw that Steve broke through, and that Minecraft is in Smash. It looks weird. The music remix feels very out of touch for Minecraft. The whole thing feels
a little weird to me.
Listen,
as down as you know I am on Minecraft, I'm not a fan of Minecraft whatsoever, but that music track was a banger. Rock the block, as the splash screen said.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, before I get into all my nerdy details, what's your off-the-cuff take? What do you think about Steve coming to Super Smash Brothers?
I don't want to be a downer on this like I usually am on the show. I feel like a lot of the topics we've covered lately are things I'm not as high on, but not a huge fan, just because Minecraft is something I didn't grow up with. I've never really been a fan of it. I've never really understood the games, to be totally honest. I've tried playing them with you and our friend David. Didn't really enjoy it, or I say them as if there's more than one, just the Minecraft. And then you, Trevor, and I played Minecraft Dungeons, which that game doesn't even feel like Minecraft. I'd rather play normal Minecraft at that point. But yeah, it's just something I'm not a big fan of. But then also, Steve is not really a real character, and that's what I think I have the biggest issue with, is that, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Steve just kind of a placeholder avatar? Like,
well, you can customize your skin on Minecraft, but he is a character. I mean, he's been on the box art and all that stuff for years and years and years, so he is as much of a character as Pokemon Trainer is, you know?
Yeah, and I know they make, I was actually doing some costume shopping for Halloween with some friends, in case they do, a Halloween party this year, and I saw that they have a Steve Minecraft costume, and I'm like, okay, so yeah, I understand that, but to me, it's just, you know, at this point, you know how you and I have talked about characters that we don't think should be in? Like, Waluigi's probably the biggest one. There's a huge contingency of people that think Waluigi should be a character in Smash Bros. And you and I have always agreed that, the only reason Waluigi exists is because Wario needed a tennis partner in the original Mario Tennis. Like, that is the literal reason for his existence. And so, we're not huge fans of his as far as being included in Super Smash Bros. Because I feel like there are so much more iconic, historic, and deserving characters. And I hate using that word deserving, because everybody's definition of that is different. But I just think, you know, Steve, it's like I would have rather Minecraft be represented through an assist trophy, a spirit, a stage even, items, anything like that. But just as a character slot, as something I'm paying for, I'm not a big fan of it. I will say the fact that there are four different costumes, one being the zombie and one being Enderman, is pretty cool. But overall, man, I was just telling you this before we started the show. You know, we were talking about how Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, releases tomorrow. And, I guess by the time the show will go up, it'll be the day of. But, you know, I was just like, this just lines up way too well because it this Sakurai Presents was the same day that Crash Bandicoot 4 came out in Japan. So I'm like, there might be something to this. And then when I saw Sonic hit Mario for a second, I was like, oh, man, this might be it. I thought he was about to hit Mario to the Wumpa Islands or something. And then, like you said, once he hit the wall and I saw those blocks, how pixelated they were, I'm like, eh, no. I was just instantly, like, kind of let down. But I will say, on a positive note, I'm just glad it's not some anime sword character. Because that's why, like, honestly, the fact that even though it's not Crash or Rayman or a Donkey Kong character or something like that, I'm just glad it's not another Byleth or Joker or Terry or Hero. Like, I've just, or Min Min. I've just had enough, like, anime humanoid characters. You know, like, since Smash 4, there's just been way too many of those characters. And for me, I'm tired of it. You know, like, I'm not trying to relive Bleach in the form of a video game, I guess. I haven't actually watched Bleach like that, but I'm not into anime. I'm just not. I like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. I like Yu Yu Hakusho. I like Full Metal Alchemist. That's the extent of it. So I'm just glad it's not that. I'm glad it's something different, but I would have really preferred Crash Bandicoot or Rayman, so I'm still hoping they're going to get in.
Yeah, I mean, the big takeaway is that, like, for approximately, like, the second time ever, in the Fighter's Pass, this is the second character that hasn't been made in Japan. I believe that's...
Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie's the only other one, and he sticks out like a sore thumb. If you look at that first Fighter Pass, you're like, this is like the only character that isn't anime style, you know? And I know Terry's not supposed to be, but
three out of five are JRPG characters. That's just too much. JRPG characters with an anime aesthetic. Like that's just, I mean, guys, come on, we need some balance. And, so I'll say right off the bat that I disagree with the hype, lack of hype you feel. I mean, although I'm not like super excited for Steve being in myself, I definitely respect it as far as like a character that's deserving to be in. I mean, this was like the breakout indie character, and now it's not an indie game anymore, but it was originally created most largely in part by like one dude in Sweden. So I mean, this is like the indie character rep. I was really hoping that they would put an indie character in Super Smash Bros. The closest that we got in Ultimate was Shovel Knight being an assist trophy, which is a crime. He should be a playable character. Nintendo published the game in Japan. The Shovel Knight has sold more than like half the Fire Emblem series, but you know, I'm not bitter. It's only sold better than every Fire Emblem game before Fire Emblem Awakening, and it's an indie game. But you know what? Let's add another Fire Emblem character. but anyway, besides that, that's the real winner today. The real winner today is everybody who is just like, you know, holding their breath to try and make sure it wasn't another Fire Emblem character. Because goodness gracious, and I know that it's like people are sick of that joke, but I'm sick of them adding more Fire Emblem characters, and I'm a pretty big fan. I've dumped a lot of money, and I'm not proud of it, into Fire Emblem Heroes. So, like, I love the series, but hate all the love it gets in Smash. And yeah, the first Fighter's Pass was, it just ended on this big wet fart where they're like, hey guys, here's a character no one wanted or asked for except for a small contingency of specifically big three houses stands. I mean, like, it wouldn't even be, not even in the top three of characters I'd want from three houses, because Byleth is the least interesting of all the main characters. I know that's a little subjective, he's an avatar character in that game where, like, he literally does not have dialogue outside of, like, little options that you pick. And so, like, Edelgard would have been awesome. Dimitri would have been cool. Claude would have been cool if you're going to add one, you know? But they just added Byleth instead because, I don't know, Fire Emblem's got a weird thing with avatar characters. But this isn't a Fire Emblem podcast. Let's talk about Steve.
I was going to say that it's funny that you say that, because I'll never forget there was a fake Smash trailer video that somebody made for Shrek getting in the game, but they started it off with Byleth getting included and then a bunch of other Fire Emblem characters as a joke, and it was just so funny that months later it turned out that Byleth was actually a character that ended up in the game. Like, and just to know that Sakurai had to get an early copy of Fire Emblem Three Houses to even understand the character to include them in the game, I just think is the funniest thing. But I wasn't worried about another Fire Emblem character. My problem is I think Sakurai has this affinity for, like, anime sword characters. Like, he and that's why Fire Emblem gets so much disproportionate love ever since Smash 4. But I feel like he has this, you know, affinity for those types of characters, and that's why I'm just worried that we're going to get characters like Dante or even something that's unlikely like Sora. I just wouldn't be surprised with him. Like, I feel like Sora probably is more likely than Crash or Rayman just because of Sakurai, and I don't know, that's just why I'm like, okay, for all the people who didn't want another anime sword character, that was nice today. I just, you know, like I said, I'm just kind of sad it wasn't Crash or Rayman, because I really think both of those characters deserve to get in, and I'll honestly be disappointed if both of them don't. I know that's a very entitled thing to say, but it's just the truth. I just feel like they're so deserving of being included, just as far as their history is concerned. And also the fact that there's no Activision character and there's no Ubisoft character, and both of those companies have done a ton of collaboration with Nintendo. So I just feel like it'd be kind of a slap in the face to them to not include a character from one of their game series. But I was going to ask you this, because this is something I was thinking about before, but this is the part that also scares me with Minecraft being included in Smash, is that what do you think this means going forward for DLC? Because we know Nintendo apparently asked Sakurai to include Minecraft in the game because it's the best-selling game of all time. But, you know, somebody made a good point on the internet today. They're like, so, I mean, if it's just about money to Nintendo and what's most popular, then get ready for Waluigi and, like, a character from Fortnite, or, like, how the creator of Overwatch wants Tracer in the game. And now I honestly feel like a lot of those are real possibilities, especially, like, as ridiculous as it sounds, I could see them putting in a Fortnite character now, which would, I'm sorry, I would, like, vomit in my mouth.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a much greater possibility now than it did a day ago. But what I would say about Minecraft and really about this announcement in general is that, like, Minecraft is the best-selling game of all time. They've partnered with Nintendo to make a Super Mario edition for the Wii U. They made a 3DS-specific version of the game. Minecraft is just enormous. It's a multicultural pop icon, and I think, you know, as far as giving this slot to him, I definitely think he deserves a spot, but also, like, I can see why he doesn't really fit in. Like, the graphics, you can take that polygonal banjo from the N64 and freshen him up, and he fits right in. You can take a character from Dragon Quest and soften the edges on the character to make it look less like a cel-shaded anime character and make him, like, fit in the game. You can take Link, who was cel-shaded in Breath of the Wild, and make him fit with the art style, but Minecraft is just this ironclad, like, it has to look like this, and every time it looks better, people don't like it. So, you know, they didn't even go with the dungeons thing of making them look a little bit cleaner. They look exactly like they do in Minecraft, and I feel like that's something that they probably weren't willing to budge on, and why it seems like Sakurai did not want to do this. Part of this presentation was, like, he didn't think it could work. Nintendo was asking him about it, and I get it. Like, this is tough, and they had to apparently rework every single stage in the game to make the block mechanic work. I'm sure Nintendo was like, whatever, man, however much money it takes, just do it, because Minecraft is still, any given month, it'll be the top five best-selling games on every digital storefront. I mean, it's insane. A couple months ago, it outsold Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PlayStation. It's just like this. How many years old is Minecraft at this point?
I don't even know. But I honestly don't get it. Like, I've played Minecraft a bunch of times, and I just do not see what other people are saying. And that's no disrespect, but just for it to sell the way that it does is just mind-boggling to me. But,
well, it's like a video game version of Legos. So, I mean, I totally get it. And the it's very inviting. It's very peaceful at first, and it's a little different every time. I can totally see where the appeal is, and I have spent a lot of time in Minecraft myself and have a tremendous amount of respect for the game, as do a lot of Japanese developers. They've been studying that a lot lately because, of course, they want to tap into that magic that, you know, made this the best-selling game ever. So, you know, best-selling game character in the best-selling fighting game, you know, I'll take it. But yeah, it just sounded like Sakurai did not want to do this. Now, I have a theory with the Fighters Pass. They've said both times that Nintendo decided the DLC fighters, and I think that's partially true. I think Nintendo has a seat at the table, and they have, of course, all the authority in the world to suggest things because they are, in fact, publishing the game. But they have a tremendous amount of respect for Sakurai. They let him do his own thing. For Brawl, they let him, like, contract out every single employee and build his own team. They let him hire an entire second company to help make Subspace. And, you know, they just let him do whatever he wants, if for the most part, because they trust him. And, you know, honestly, he's like, the man does good work and is worthy of that trust. So be it. But I think for the first Fighters Pass, I think Joker could have been either Nintendo or Sakurai's pick. But like,
nah, it was Byleth Sakurai.
Byleth and Terry Booger. Those are Sakurai picks. I mean, you're talking about this obscure guy from
Booger?
Yeah,
you mean Bogart?
That's what his name sounds like. Yeah, Terry Booger. I mean, you go to anybody on the street and you say Terry Bogart, they're like, who?
Well, I mean,
is that
if
like
you said
a talk show host? Does he have a podcast or something?
I mean, maybe if you said period, then I think nobody knows who you're going to talk about.
Well, if you said like, you know, like Terry, like King of Fighters has a little more cachet, but like the name has no sort of recognition like Ryu or what's the dude's name from Tekken? I don't like fighting so much. Hayachi.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, even you know, because I'm a big fighting game fan. I mean, even if you put in Nightmare from Soul Calibur, like, that would have been better than Terry. I think Terry, by far,
yeah, and
is
I mean,
the
you talk about,
choice.
like, you talk about the acquisition of IP for this. I mean, like, Bandai Namco's working on the game. If you wanted to get Hayachi and they were okay with it, which he's guest starred in PlayStation All-Stars, you could have gotten him in this game if you wanted to, and instead you chose Terry Booger. And honestly, it would have been cooler for Hayachi because they have that different fighting style that's present in Tekken that isn't like Street Fighter, whereas like King of Fighters is a lot more similar to Street Fighter. But anyway, my theory is that those three characters were chosen by Sakurai, especially Byleth. I mean, maybe there's a world in which Koei Tecmo was asked, like, hey, do you want a character in this game? And they said Byleth to promote Three Houses, which they helped develop, and obviously they're probably getting a kickback on the sales of. Maybe there's a world in which that happened, but honestly, I don't see it. I think Sakurai wanted that, and he pitched it, and, you know, it's just been a tradition to use Super Smash Brothers as a vehicle for marketing Fire Emblem for ever since Melee. I mean, they put Roy in because Binding Blade was about to come out. They put Ike in because of the GameCube games were the recent ones, and then they did Awakening and Fates in the fourth game. I mean, they have the only Fire Emblem game they've missed marketing is the remake of Fire Emblem Gaiden. And so, I mean, like, they just have a thing. Sakurai has a thing for Fire Emblem. We all know that. ARMS makes a little more sense from Nintendo, that they wanted a ARMS character, but I think Min Min was a combination of Sakurai and the director doing that. And that was cool how that, like, I mean, they basically took a poll in the game and Min Min was won. So, you know, whatever. I'm cool with that. This was definitely Nintendo's call. This adding Steve and we might see a couple more of those characters, but yeah, I definitely think this definitely makes me think that we might see someone like Jonesy in the game, which I hope isn't the case. I mean, if we're gonna do a Fortnite character, just make it Jellyman or Banana Man, and like that'll soften the blow for me. But yeah, I think the landscape has definitely changed after this. But I just want to point out too that, like, so Super Smash Brothers, you know, it's a Nintendo crossover. you know, most of the characters are coming from Japan because they're coming from Nintendo, but, like, Nintendo's worked with American companies that have made their own IP, and now that they're crossing over with third parties, it's nice to see someone that isn't from Japan. This is the second one in both of the Fighters Passes, and I think only, like, the fifth one in the game, period. Because you've basically got Diddy Kong, K. Rool, then you've got Dark Samus, which, like, only halfway counts because it's literally just it's a Dark Samus. And then you've got Banjo and Steve. So I think that only makes five characters that exist out of the U.S. Now that we're crossing over with third parties, I mean, come on, man. Like, put in a character that's from, I don't know, the biggest gaming market in the world, the United States. Like, could we get Crash? Could we get a little love from France with Rayman? Like, I would just really like some of the diversity that would bring, because I don't know, man. I think that Sakurai, like, his dream game would be to, like, partner with Arc System Works and make a fighting game akin to, like, Dragon Ball FighterZ, but it's with Fire Emblem and Zelda characters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and look, I feel the same way. I mean, that's why I say again, like, I would be severely disappointed if Crash or Rayman, or really, to be honest, if both don't get in, because I just, you know, and that's the other thing about, that's kind of disappointing as far as Minecraft being a character, is it just takes up another slot, and there's only four more of those to go around, and I don't know, it's just knowing that Nintendo's willing to subject themselves to putting Minecraft in the game, which was basically a meme and a pipe dream, makes me feel like characters like Waluigi or somebody from Overwatch or Fortnite has a realistic chance now, and that just frightens me, you know, because you know Sakurai's going to get...
I don't think Overwatch would be a bad character, someone from that.
No, I mean, but it's just, to me, it's not that it would be bad, it's just that I feel like there's so many other well-established and better choices that are available, and that's kind of what I feel like a lot of times we're prisoners of the moment, you know. That's why for the longest time King K. Rool seemed ridiculous, you know, because by the time everybody started requesting for him for Smash 4 because he didn't make it in Brawl, it's like, yeah, but when's the last time he's appeared in a game? And if it wasn't for that poll that they put out, or the what was it, the poll that you could vote on, if they hadn't have done that, he wouldn't have been included. And I just think it's just crazy that it took that for that character to be looked at completely different. And I feel like, you know, I could see somebody from Overwatch getting in over somebody like Rayman, because Rayman hasn't done anything since Rayman Legends in 2012, I believe. And, you know,
that's the strangest thing, because Ubisoft has had a very close relationship with Nintendo. You know, they were very, very early on board with the Wii U. They made, what was it, Zombie U for it. They really went in with Nintendo on that gamepad, and they lost a lot of money for it. They ate dirt because of it, because they didn't, you know, obviously they didn't sell many games on the Wii U. And now they're still collaborating very heavily. We had Star Fox and Starlink, and then they made an entire Mario game, which Nintendo doesn't let just anybody walk up and make a Mario game. And, you know, here we are. Rayman has been a trophy in some Smash games, and he's a spirit in this one. I mean, like, he was a shoo-in. Like, he's, like, either he's in the game or something weird happened where, like, I just don't get it. And now we're seeing costumes from Assassin's Creed and Rabbids. So I honestly feel like he's a shoo-in, but at the same time, they just seem to neglect so many of these characters. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if they're thinking about the next Smash game, and they're thinking about keeping a few of these, like, highly requested guys up until then, well, so they can really make a splash. But,
you know, it's, to me, it's because it's always the Japanese anime sword characters that get rumored over everybody else, because, you know, there's a lot of rumors about Dante, there's a lot of rumors about Ryo Hayabusa, and then even though Travis Touchdown isn't a sword character and he'd still be cool, but there's a lot of rumors about him, and I just feel like I could see Sakurai including all of those characters, you know, just because that's just him. And like I said, it's just disappointing. Like, I feel like Rayman should be a shoo-in too. I mean, like Ubisoft made trophies of Rayman and Globox to include in Super Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS, and like you said, the collaboration between the two companies, I just feel like it would almost be a slap in the face not to include a Ubisoft character, even if it's not Rayman. Just to not include one, I just feel like would honestly be like just a complete slap in the face, especially when you're including characters like Joker and Terry that literally do nothing for Nintendo. Absolutely zero. So that just bothers me. And then, like I said, even Crash Bandicoot, like you would think Crash, I mean, a lot of people think Crash is going to get in just because of the you know, how big of a character he is. He has a new release. It's already been leaked that the game is going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch at some point. So you would think, but I just, it's because it's Sakurai. I just don't trust it. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the next three characters we get are Dante, Travis Touchdown, Ryu Hayabusa, and then for the sixth character, just some other anime character. And I just, I don't know. That's just, that's the cynical side of me. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm really hopeful that, you know, the fact that Nintendo really is picking some of the characters, because, you know, you and I talked about this earlier, and it's something I want to dive into quickly for a second after I say this, but I don't, like we talked about, we don't think Sakurai's picked all, of, or Nintendo's picked all of the characters. I think Sakurai's definitely the one who picked Joker and Terry, at least. But the fact that Nintendo is involved in the process makes me feel like, okay, there's no way they can ignore Crash, at least. And then Rayman, you know, Rayman, just with already the stuff that's included in Smash from Ubisoft, Rayman's a spirit, and then the collaborations they've done together, you would just think Nintendo would be like, what's a Ubisoft character we could add? And Ubisoft themselves said that they would want Rayman to be the character that's represented in Smash. And it makes sense, because it would help them kind of revitalize the brand, too. You know,
yeah.
But the fact that Nintendo is involved in the picking process makes me feel it's more likely, because if it was all Sakurai's choices, then I feel like, you know, it wouldn't even be outside the realm of possibility to get another Fire Emblem character.
Yeah, I mean, I think really just like there's a lot of awesome characters that they could add. Ninja Gaiden, of course, is iconic. It's very I mean, it's been around since the 80s. And Ryu Hayabusa is a strong character. I think that someone from Overwatch would be cool. Someone from Warcraft would be cool. Doom Guy would be cool. Master Chief would be cool. There's a ton of characters that you could really see getting in this game, and they would be great. But I think some of the lack of excitement that I would feel, and I think this is kind of where you're coming from too, is when you see those characters get confirmed before the characters that should have been in, like, you know, two games ago when they first opened the door to third parties, like, Crash should have been, like, right after Sonic. I mean, it should have been, like, as far as characters that you would want in a game like this, like, I mean, that was those were the console wars, man. It was Sonic, Mario, and Crash duking it out, and yeah, it'd just be like a dream to see Rayman is an incredible character that's been around since the early days of the PlayStation. Big partnerships with Nintendo in the past with Rayman specifically, and yeah, I mean, it'd be weird to not see them. And then I think I think Geno's gonna get in. And I think he should get in, because I mean he's been a huge deal since Brawl. I mean, you know, I spent way too much time on Smash boards, and I mean, he's just been a highly requested character forever. And I know that, like, you know, there's the whole, like, maybe he's partially owned by Square, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. But, like, I mean, you just can't get away from, like, him just being, like, wanted by so many people. So, I mean, and I honestly think as far as where this Fighters Pass is going to go, I do think that we're going to get Crash, Rayman, and Geno, and then a wild card. I think there's like four left, isn't there? Yeah, there's four left in this pass. I think Geno's going to be the last one, and I think that Crash and Rayman will come pretty soon.
The funny thing is that Minecraft would have been the perfect last character. Just a perfect way to send that off where it's like, wow, I did not see this coming. I didn't think that was possible. And honestly, it would change my perception of it. Like, if Crash and Rayman end up getting in the Fighters Pass, I won't even look back on that and be upset about it. But I just think if we had Crash and Rayman, you get to the end of that, and then you end up with Steve, I'm like, all right, I wouldn't be mad at that. But I just feel like, you already know Sakurai's going to include some character that he wants. So, you know, like we talked about, Travis Touchdown now, all of a sudden the creator of it went from being like, oh, I'd love for him to be in Smash, to no comment, you know, and that is like kind of odd, which makes me feel like
Travis Touchdown has been a big deal since the Wii era, too.
But I think
he should be in the game for sure.
Yeah, but I'm
that's actually my other pick. That's my prediction is Crash, Rayman, Travis, Geno.
Yeah, I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the game. I'm just talking about the number of slots that will be available, because you'll know Sakurai will already want to include a character like that. You know, we've heard Ryu Hayabusa, which I honestly, like, I understand Ninja Gaiden's significance, but I don't think those that character in particular comes anywhere close to some of the other ones that we've talked about. I mean, maybe to Geno, because Geno appeared in one game, which personally, like, I would love to have Geno in the game just because it'd be another non-anime-esque humanoid character, but I wouldn't be upset if he wasn't in the game either, because I just look at the fact that he appeared in one game, and to me, it's like, what makes him any more significant than Mallow, you know, who was also another partner in that game? And so I just think I would not be upset if he missed it. Personally, for me, the way I'd like to finish out the four would be Crash, Rayman, Doomslayer, and then you could give me, like, Travis Touchdown. I feel like that would be absolutely perfect. Like, I have no qualms with that whatsoever.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, from a personal level, I'm kind of out of the game at this point. The only character that I felt like I really, really wanted personally was Shovel Knight, and so that's done. I bought Rivals of Aether that just came to Switch, so I'm getting a little bit of my Shovel Knight Smash Brothers fix there. But yeah, besides him, I think, you know, what would be best for the game is to get those long-time additions. You know, you get Crash and Rayman, and then I think Geno, just from a fan perspective. And yeah, I mean, those things are true. Yeah, I mean, he was only in one game, and he, I mean, you could say that maybe he's not more significant than Mallow, but what I would say to that is twofold. I mean, inside of the game, Geno is a lot more important, and then outside of the game, people are still, like, you know, banging the war drum for him, like, you know, way more than for Mallow. And so that's where I kind of see that happening. But I don't know. I mean, there's also just the Curious Me costume thing, you know, that they haven't brought him back. And I mean, when, you know, it's like not seeing the K. Rool one in any of the trailers was always like keeping that little core of hope alive for K. Rool getting in the game. And so that's where I could see that. I will say, as far as the order of this, I mean, you're totally right. I mean, Minecraft would be the one to end on, where you're just like, oh my gosh, Smash at the end of the Fighter's Pass, pairing up the best fighting game or the best-selling fighting game with the best-selling video game overall. Like, that's how you end with a thunderclap. But I don't get the order at all. I mean, they started this with Joker, which is honestly a fairly niche character. And if you want to talk about the general audience Smash is trying to be around for, you put an M-rated character that was been in one JRPG PlayStation game, and then it was like there was a spinoff for the 3DS that was like one of the last 3DS games. Like, that's who you're gonna send out to go and solicit pre-orders for the pass. Okay, I think that's why. I mean, I bought one because I like having a full Smash game, but. But yeah, it's just that was a silly character to start with. Now for E3, hitting with the most requested character from, like, one of the biggest characters you could possibly push to an Eastern audience, and one of the biggest characters that you could push to a Western audience, bam, Dragon Quest and Banjo. Oh my goodness. Like, that's where they should have started. They should have just, like, you know, centered that announcement around E3, but then you know, having Terry and then Byleth, it just ended on such a weird, like, wet fart. And then Narm's character getting in is cool, but it's not something that's, like, really gonna wow us. And then they do this. I don't get it. If you're gonna put Steve in any slot, maybe put him in the number one slot for Fighter's Pass 2, so that you can, you know, get some excitement about big characters coming to the franchise, instead of, like, you know, the leftovers that Nintendo has in their bench.
I have a theory that they probably meant to add or end Steve with the first Fighter Pass. He was like the fifth fighter, but then they realized, well, if we put Fire Emblem in the second one, nobody's going to buy it. And they were right. because that trailer has more, I think it has more dislikes than likes. Like, it's the one Smash reveal that is, you know, disproportionately, like, people are just really upset about it. Like, there's a lot of people upset about Minecraft Steve today, but it's not even close, you know? So I feel like they probably were like, you know what? Well, let's just put Byleth in the pass that everyone already bought. That makes more sense. And then COVID-19 happened, and I think that's why they put Min Min in there, was just because they could go ahead and announce the character, because they announced that there was going to be an arms fighter like 3 months before they even showed her. So I think that was the reason they went with her. It's just like, you know, because nobody was really going to be like hyped for whatever arms character it was. Just knowing that one was coming, I think, was good enough for somebody else. But if you said, you know, oh, somebody from Minecraft is going to be in Smash, it's like, okay, well, that, you know, it'd be a, it, you know, everybody would already know what you're talking about, and it would be a lot different. It would completely kill the hype. So I feel like that the pandemic probably affected. They probably did want to at least start the second fighter pass with Steve, or end the first one with him.
Yeah, well, that's I was speculating that like, you know, the arms character was pushed ahead of schedule because whoever they had to start the fighters pass wasn't ready. So maybe Steve was originally supposed to be that first spot. But yeah, the order has been very strange. And yeah, I'm checking some of this stuff in real time, some of the trailer reactions that you have. In the Byleth one has about a 50% like to dislike ratio. Actually a little more on the dislike side, with like 87k and then like 145k likes. So it's not great. It's not great. I mean, you know, you have a lot of people that were a little salty about that. And I totally get it, man. I think in one interview, he even like acknowledged like how much, you know, how he's gone a little overboard with the Fire Emblem characters. But
well, you know, he acknowledged just, that when he put,
and then you look at the other trailers, and it's like, I mean, it's like 1% of the likes or dislikes. It's just it's kind of insane.
He acknowledged the oversaturation of the Fire Emblem characters when he included Corrin in Smash 4, and then everybody was upset about that. And it's like, what does he do in Ultimate? He includes Crom, and then he includes Byleth. And I know Crom is an Echo fighter, but of course, he's the only Echo fighter that takes moves from two completely different characters, which I think is the funniest thing, that the one Echo fighter that got some pretty cool treatment is the one Fire Emblem character, which is just, you know, but I'm not going to dive into that, but I just think that's pretty hilarious.
And I got to point out that it's, I think whatever they're trying to do with this is really having the opposite effect. I mean, I'm a Fire Emblem fan. I've played most of the games. I've played even some that don't have official English translations, which means I've figured out how to patch in fan translations of the game just to experience the story. I've put a lot of time in Fire Emblem Heroes. Like, I've beaten three houses. I beat Fates like 5 times and Awakening like 4 times. Like, I love the series, and you know, every time I see another one of these guys wander into Smash, especially when it's another one with a sword, you know, like, you couldn't add Hector, you couldn't add Lin, you couldn't add, like, you couldn't think of anybody else, but just another, you know, soy boy lord with a sword. It's like, whenever I see that again, I'm just like, it's disappointing, and I think it's having the opposite effect, where, like, anecdotally speaking, I know that you and Trevor are less interested in Fire Emblem after Smash 4 than you were before, and it's like having this effect where you're just like, it's, they're trying to like shove broccoli down your throat, and it makes you hate broccoli. I'd be curious to, you know, to see. I got to run a poll at some point. Like, has Fire Emblem's inclusion in Smash made you more warm or cold to the series? And I think it's definitely at this point, it's starting to just make people angry and you know, out of spite, not by the game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I literally have zero interest in Fire Emblem just because of Smash. I used to have somewhat of an interest in it through Brawl and trying it out at some point. And then after Smash 4, I was like, nope. Not supporting that. No interest.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Goodness.
So, yeah. So we'll see what happens going forward. I'm still hopeful for, maybe they'll reveal Crash if he is a character whenever they reveal that Crash Bandicoot 4 is coming to the Switch. And, you know, Rayman, I'm still hopeful for him because we talked about, you know, all the collaborations with Ubisoft and Nintendo. But then there was also those curious trademark updates where there was a million of them for Rayman and some stuff in there that included something along the lines of being included in some game that also requires an online membership, which fits Super Smash Bros. Ultimate exactly. And then the fact that, you know, Ubisoft even has Mii costumes in the game, I'm like, yeah, I'm still hopeful for both of those characters, but we'll see.
Yeah, which I would think also that, and this gets into all the conspiracy theories and the timing thing, this would be the worst time to put Rayman in the game. Just with everything going on with Ubisoft, just reports of abuse and a bunch of executive shakeups from people who they had to kick out of the company because they were being bullies, they were harassing people, they were, you know, just they had some bad apples in that corporation. And so having Ubisoft's logo inside of a Nintendo trailer is probably not what they're looking for right now. So I wonder if that's even like been factored into this. But and if enough tinfoil hat theorizing for one episode of We the People, we got to get to the other stuff at some point. So I will take my tin hat off. I will leave my bitterness about Shovel Knight but not being playable to the side. Leave my bitterness about Donkey Kong Jr. not being playable to the other side. We shall move on. Everybody take a deep breath. Next news story. So, Balan Wonderworld. You know that new Square Enix game by Yuji Naka? It's his reported one chance to do a platformer game for Square Enix. So this comes from during Tokyo Game Show. IGN Japan had the chance to sit down with Naka, who had a major role in programming, directing, producing Phantasy Star, Nights into Dreams, and Sonic the Hedgehog. So during that interview, he said he's been working with Square since 2018, presumably directing this project. He stated in the interview that the president of Square Enix said that this was his one chance to make a solid platformer title, as that's not Square Enix's typical offering. So yeah, I mean, you've seen some of the trailers and the hubbub around this game. What do you think about Balan Wonderworld? I don't know if I'm saying that wrong. I probably am. It's a weird name.
It just reminds me of Knights from Sega. Honestly, like it feels exactly like that. Even though I know that's a completely different game, but it looks fun enough. I feel like it looks pretty slow, and the fact that every level incorporates a different ability, I feel like might be a little much. Because it almost feels gimmicky in that sense, or it sounds gimmicky. But I'm excited to at least try it out. I mean, I think it looks unique and cool enough to warrant a, playthrough of the game. But yeah, I mean, from looking at it, like I said, to me, the thing that bothers me the most is that it looks kind of sluggish. Like, it doesn't look fluid and fast. And that's kind of like what I like in platformers. You know, part of the reason why I love Donkey Kong Country so much is there's a YouTuber, The Geek Critique. He talks about how Donkey Kong Country feels so kinetic, and how, like, if you get on a roll and you keep moving at a fast pace, you can maintain that momentum, and that's what makes it fun. And in this game, from everything I've seen, just looks stagnant in that sense. And so, I don't know if it's my style of platformer, but I just think the fact that Square Enix is doing something besides a JRPG, it's cool. I mean, I know they did the Avengers game too, but that was also out there.
Yeah, so I did a little digging on this because, yeah, I saw the trailer and I have basically the same feeling as you do. Looks a lot like Knights. I mean, you know, it's basically one of those spiritual successor stories, your ukulele to your Banjo-Kazooie, and it's made by the guy who invented a lot of that stuff into Knights into Dreams. So, you know, that makes sense. This is all the same, also the same guy who worked on Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg. So, I mean, that's kind of his style. And he exited Sega around that time. So he's like, he was part of the original team for Sonic the Hedgehog, and then worked through this series up until like the early 2000s and left Sega at that point. But, you know, like, I think, yeah, those main characters, the playable characters look very blasé and kind of generic. I know they're supposed to be kind of avatar characters. You can, like, change their skin tone. Maybe you can do other customization options in the game that we don't know about yet. But yeah, I mean, which is also a callback to Knights. There were some characters that kind of like entered the dream world, but they were like normal people. So he's definitely, you know, trying to like reinvigorate that whole vibe. But you know, you look at the creatures, you look at Baylan himself. There's no shortage of inspiration, but the Avatar is just, it just kind of feels like a plain bag of unsalted potato chips. But you know, it's we'll see how it turns out. I'm definitely going to play through it on day one. I mean, you know, I'm a massive Sonic guy. And so I, you know, playing a game with one of the dudes who created the concept of Sonic, you know, I'll give it the time of day. And just seeing that there's some AAA 3D platformer coming out, you know, I gotta show up for that, because no one even makes those anymore. You know, it's either side scrolling platformer or it's a third person RPG game. But you know, it's also co-op at the same time, which is huge for me. I mean, it's like, you know, imagine if we could play Odyssey together, not just in the sense with like Mario and Cappy, but like I could be Luigi and we could jump around the world. Like that's kind of the same thing that you're going to get there. And there's going to be 80 different abilities, and you can meet the goals that are inside of the level in a variety of ways. So I like that. It sounds like it'll be pretty cool, but you know, far be it from Sega or people that have worked on Sega games to mess things up. So, I'm also not holding my breath for this to be like some amazing thing. So, check it out when it comes out. Pokemon had a direct. The Crown Tundra launches October 22nd. The game will also be repackaged for the holiday season to include the game and all of the DLC, although I don't think a price was announced for that, and I can't see them selling the entire thing for $60, because, come on, it's Pokemon. Matthew, what's your thought on the Pokemon expansion?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, we talked about at the end of the last show how we feel like Pokemon has gotten kind of stale for us over the years, so... You know, I bought the last DLC, what was it called again? Isle of Armor?
The Isle of Armor.
Yeah, so, you know, I played the Isle of Armor, and I gotta be honest, I was not impressed at all. It only lasted a few hours, and it felt like you were doing these missions. Like, what was the one where you just take the bear to go sightseeing? I mean, I was just like, what are we doing here? You know, it just felt so... Is inspirationless a word? it just felt like it was devoid of inspiration or any cohesive direction, or I don't know. I did not like it at all. So this just is more of the same. Like I'm kind of just ready to move on from Sword and Shield, and I'm just hoping deep down inside that Game Freak is going to get their stuff together. They're going to hire more people. They're going to be able to put a better product out next time, because I'm already... Sword and Shield is kind of already an afterthought to me, to be completely objective and honest.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same about the Isle of Armor. Like, I think the coolest part is that they added a bunch of Pokemon that were previously not in the game, but that's just like... It's that weird thing where, like... You know, it's like your dad took your toy away, and then like for your birthday he gave you that toy back, and it's like, but I mean, okay, I'm happy to have my toy back, but also something new would have been nice. And I feel like Pokemon's got this minimum viable product mindset, where good enough is always good enough, and obviously all this lack of ambition is not going to hurt their sales one bit. And it's just like, it pains me to see all the work that went into Dragon Quest, and especially the Elusive Age S edition. I mean, you're talking about a game that has two graphical styles. I mean, you could play it like it's a Super Nintendo game or like a PS4 game, and they have almost as many monsters as Pokemon does, with just with more animation work. And I think that game hit like something like 6 million copies sold, whereas Pokemon's already done 17 million. It's just insane how much work that Square puts into Dragon Quest to make, like, you know, a third of the money that Pokemon does for doing nothing. And I mean, I gotta package it with saying, like, I love Pokemon so much. I cherish Pokemon, but at this point I feel like just like a sad dad going to watch his kid squander all his potential while silently hoping for the best. Rehashing all the legendary Pokemon is cool, but by the looks of it, it seems like that's going to be the main appeal of this one, that they're just going to put you in a straight corridor and you're just going to battle a bunch of legendary Pokemon that you've already battled before. I just really hope that, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I just really hope that they put a lot of juice, a lot of oomph into the next game, because Pokemon's really, really missing that. And this is the time to strike, man. Pokemon's never been bigger than it is today. And the Pokemon Go craze is eventually going to fade, or they're going to have to reinvent it. The games are the lifeblood of the series. It's where all the new ideas come from. And so it's time to really dig in and try and expand that experience. It's just crazy to think that Zelda Skyward Sword did not perform particularly well. And Zelda sales can be weird because half of them come out on two different systems, which is a sales booster for sure. But Skyward Sword is sort of this breaking point of the series where they're like, this formula just doesn't work anymore. It's boring. It's just tired and old. And while there's still like a lot of stuff that a lot of benefit to it, it's time to just like rethink the formula. And they come out with Breath of the Wild and like, bam. And even though it's, kind of the same thing where they got to sell it on two different systems. The Wii U isn't really adding much. It was just a fantastic game, critically acclaimed, tons of sales, and it's going to keep selling until the Switch shuts its doors, because they really dug in and made the Zelda game that they needed to. And so that's just what I hope that that Pokemon will do. But I don't know. There's not that incentive. They didn't have that sales drop off to really like have them reflect. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Just seeing how well that game has sold. I think it's the best selling Pokemon behind Red and Blue, which is just, yeah, it's just really disappointing.
Oh yeah, this. I wonder. I wonder if that's the case. The 17 million already puts it above a ton of the games. I think that makes it beat out most of the DS games, which is sad because the DS games were just they were like some of the most ambitious portable games of their time. It's just kind of,
yeah, it's weird after Black and White the games just kind of dropped off in that department.
Yeah, and in terms of sales, I know that the big number to beat is I believe 30 million. That's what the original trilogy did. Now Pokemon Sword and Shield, as of the last reporting, which was June of this year, has crossed the 18 million threshold. So I would say probably by the time we are done with this system, it's going to pass Gold and Silver and probably be the second best selling Pokemon game ever, which breaks my heart. But it's just one of those things. Life isn't fair, man. You leave it all in the field and sometimes it just doesn't matter. But yeah, it's already beaten Black and White. It's already beaten Diamond and Pearl. So we're already through with that. It's already beaten X and Y. It's already beaten Sun and Moon. So all it really has left to beat is Gold and Silver, and then the main trilogy, and it'll be number one, which, all that stuff, you gotta have the context. Like the Switch is just a freak show of a system that's selling incredible amounts of hardware, and that's gonna have an effect on the game sales. But it's just kind of crazy how. Gold and Silver will be the next one to beat at 23 million. But it'll be interesting to see. It all goes down.
It's funny because then you get games like Kirby Fighters 2 that just came out recently. To me, that's a $20 game. But, to me, it's funny because you look at Pokemon Sword and Shield and it doesn't even look much more ambitious than that. And that Kirby game's not meant to be much. I haven't played it yet. I know you didn't. I know you wanted to talk about your impressions on the game, but I don't know. I just think about the scale of Sword and Shield, and it's ridiculous to me, especially, too, that the games look like the 3DS games. They use the models from the 3DS games, but instead of charging 3DS prices, they charge Nintendo Switch prices, and I don't know. I think they did this the whole time knowing that they were going to get away with it, and that's why they tried to sue leakers this time, which every Pokemon games had leakers, but I think they wanted to go after them this time because it actually created negative PR for them for the first time, and they weren't used to that. That's why they had journalists put out reports of things saying how, like, the company morale was low and this and that, and it's like, I mean, I don't know, man. To me, it's just, like, I look at entertainment as like sports. You know, in sports, like, you don't get to play if you don't produce. You know, that's just the way it is. Like, you can be, you know, like, we both loved Kobe Bryant. It's like, you can beat Kobe Bryant, but eventually you're not going to be able to play anymore. And that was his thing. He had a bunch of injuries. He got old. He couldn't play anymore. It's like, at a certain point, it doesn't matter what your name is, how historic you are in the game in which you play or the business in which you do your work. Eventually you're going to get replaced and you're not going to be around anymore. It's just the nature of things. But I feel like video games is different, where, like, things live off their names for so long, and it's just depressing, because Pokemon Sword and Shield to me is like Kobe in his 20th season of his NBA career, which was just, you know, by his standards, pathetic. And it's like, that's what Pokemon Sword and Shield is to me, but yet it's not going anywhere anytime soon because of that. And that just, I don't know, it just upsets me, especially for the price they sold it at. Like, to me, like, I brought up Kirby Fighters too, because I'm like, you know, by that logic, that should be a $60 game, or at least a $40 game, and it's not. It's a $20 game, you know, and I don't know. I just, it...
Yeah, it's insane to think that it's already past Odyssey, which is like, it just makes me sad.
Yeah, knowing what, that Odyssey is like one of the best games of all time.
Breath of fresh air. Yeah, and this, I mean, they really, like, left everything out on the field with that game, and then with Sword and Shield, they're just like, eh, it's like Sun and Moon, but it looks a little better. It's like, oh, gosh. Which, I mean, you know, there's some cool things that Sword and Shield did, but it's just as a AAA game, it is unimpressive. As a AAA game from the highest grossing media franchise in the globe, it is, quite frankly, an embarrassment. Not to say that I didn't find enjoyment in it. I still, you know, want to go back, but that's just because I love Pokemon so much. I really do. And, you know, that's why I'm hard on this game, because I want to see Pokemon be everything that it can be, not just, like, you know, them squirting out 16 different legendary Pokemon to constantly keep some sense of excitement and reason to log into the game. Oh, look, another one. And that's another thing. It's just like, man, just with this generation, they've added. So they had the three core legendary Pokemon, the two on the box, and then the mystery one that you get at the end of the game. Then they added the panda bear. Now they're adding the goat, or whatever it is. There's new forms for every original bird from the first game, and then another legendary in some, like, Regice, Regirock cousin. I'm just like, guys, they're not special if there's 4,000 of them. But I digress. Speaking of legendary Pokemon, Pokemon Go is finally getting support from Pokemon Home sometime this year, which is about a year too late, but sure, I'll take my Melmetal from Let's Go, I guess, although, you know, I worked so hard to get 400 Melmetal candies, which, if you've done that in Pokemon Go, is quite the chore, for the purpose of bringing him into the main series games. And they're just going to give out a Melmetal to everybody who can Gigantamax if you connect the game. So, like, that was a big waste of time, I guess. But Pokemon Home has been another nearly useless Pokemon thing this year for me. It's, like, theoretically such a good deal. Like, oh, man, I could just, you know, I'm breeding guys, and Trevor's, you know, driving or doing whatever he's doing throughout the day. And, oh, let me hop on your phone. Let me sling you a Hippopotas with perfect IVs real quick. And it just doesn't work. You have to get, like, a room with three people. The connectivity is awful. It's just like, man, when, such a lackluster experience. I just feel like Pokemon is cashing in on its name instead of really, like, earning the respect it has, but yeah, goodness gracious, I really hope they try harder on the next Pokemon release. Next up, We got Oddworld New and Tasty coming to the Switch on October 27th. So this is, of course, like a remake. It's nothing new. But what's interesting about this is that they're putting this out right ahead of Oddworld Soulstorm coming out on the PS4 and PS5. It's coming to those systems and then the Epic Game Store. So kind of funny little marketing trick here. We're getting a little Oddworld love on the Switch, but it's really just going to make you think about Soulstorm.
Yeah, exactly.
Jump Rope Challenge. This was a simple game made during the pandemic. Is no longer scheduled to be removed on the 30th. It will be available, quote, until further notice, according to Nintendo of America. did you download Jump Rope Challenge,
no,
Matthew?
No, I didn't. But this just made me laugh because I know they're going to do the same thing with the Super Mario 35th or the 3D All-Stars. They're just going to use this to drive up sales, and then once it gets around March, they're going to be like, oh, well, we're just going to extend the release of it if they want to until they decide to resell those games again through some virtual console-type experience, and then they'll take it away. But I just think that's funny, just seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, that was my reaction. I'm just like, what on God's green earth is this whole thing about? Like, it was a free game. Why is it being delisted in the first place? Are they running out of space on their Google Drive? Like, it's just such a weird thing. Like, you know, and they've put themselves in such a strange place by doing this. They could have just left Jump Rope Challenge up, but they had to try and pull it for who knows what reason. I would love to know the original reason why they want to pull down what is essentially like a flash game, but. You know, now that they've pulled this out, people are drowning them in comments to not do this for 3D All-Stars, which makes the whole move all the more baffling. Like, they had to know that these comments were coming. And now, whatever Nintendo does, there's going to be a group of people who are mad about it. If they keep Mario up, then the people who impulse bought it, like me, are going to feel manipulated, which I was. If they let it expire, then we're still in our current problem where a bunch of people don't get to play the game because they missed the moment. They didn't have money, you know, during they didn't have enough money to buy a system and a game during one of the worst economic downturns ever. And yeah, it just puts them in a pickle. And then if they do want to like just let everybody buy it, there's some Japanese regulations that could entangle Nintendo in some legal trouble if they were to do this. Like there was at one point when Fire Emblem Awakening came out, they did a special 3DS with some of the characters on it as like a limited time offer because they're like, this is Fire Emblem's last game. Every game has sold like a turd, and we're just gonna let the series die on this last note, and we'll sell a couple of 3DSs to make a little money on the way out. And it blew up. Fire Emblem Awakening was a huge hit, and everybody wanted that 3DS, and their investors were asking, like, why can't you just make more? Just fill the demand. And there's some laws that forbid you to do that in Japan, you know, some consumer protection laws, because at that point you are manipulating people to buy things based on things that aren't true, like a scarcity problem that doesn't exist. Where have we heard that one before? But yeah, that's what's strange. And I mean, sure enough, when I heard that they were taking down the Jump Rope game, I downloaded it. I haven't ever touched it. I don't know if I ever will, but it's just like, that's the power of manufactured scarcity. And like, it works a little bit better on me as like as someone who creates content around games, because I just like, I need access. If I, you know, in 5 years, I want to make a documentary on the Jump Rope game that Nintendo made. It's just like, I just like, I want to have access to that if I ever do that, which I probably won't. And, yeah, it's such a silly thing, man. I can't take this, and I hope that this isn't a trend that they start pulling.
Yeah, absolutely agreed.
Which, speaking of limited edition releases, let me tell you about this Mario 35 game, Matthew, because it just dropped. I went in and played a couple of rounds, and I gotta say, I understand why that one's limited. Because it handles very very awkwardly. Like, it doesn't feel like you're playing Mario. Mario's very, like, sluggish and slow, and there's all these rudimentary jumps that were just under simple gaps that I just couldn't make, or I had to, like, pre-plan and really like run and gain some speed. The swimming levels are insane. Like the Mario, the momentum just gets really wacky. And I don't know if this is a consequence of like the connectivity aspect, and they're doing that so that it doesn't create a bunch of lag. I don't really know, but the game is like, you know, it's playable and the concept is awesome. I mean, basically what it's doing is that you have 35 people playing through chunks of the original Super Mario Brothers. And if you attack enemies, you get more time on your clock, and then it sends enemies into someone else's game to try and eliminate them. Power-ups give you extra time on the clock as well. And then, you know, you're just incentivized to survive and keep pushing forward to affect the game. And so it's this thing where, like, it's technically one player, but also multiplayer, and it just makes it a lot of fun to just try and run through the game. I would kill for a Donkey Kong Country game to have a feature like this, or even Mario games, too, if it just worked a little bit better. I mean, the online experience is definitely better than Super Mario Maker 2, but that's not saying anything, because Super Mario Maker 2 is so bad that it's just not worth playing at all. This is like, okay, I can bear with it, and, you know, it's a cute little thing. After playing a couple rounds with it, I don't really have any desire to go back, but it's free to anybody who is playing Nintendo Switch Online, so I'd say, you know, check it out. It's a really fun idea. It's basically like that Tetris game that's on the Switch Online system, but with a side-scrolling platform, and I think it's really an amazing idea. I hope they execute on it at some point, which I imagine if they see enough action, maybe they'll sell a game to us later on down the line.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, which, you know, speaking of impressions, I'm really interested to hear what you thought about Kirby Fighters 2, because that is a game I'm wanting to try out myself. I actually never planned on getting around to Super Mario 35, to be honest, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'll get the whole point of the game in, like, about 6 minutes of playing it. I mean, there's not much depth to it, but it's just kind of a cool idea. I equate it to, like, the games that you used to play on a browser. You know, there used to be, like, these Nickelodeon games, or, like, there used to be a Cartoon Network game that was a RPG Dragon Ball Z game that I used to play, and it's really just there to promote the show, or whatever, like, marketing campaign they're in the middle of, but you can also find a little value, and it's a cool little mini game, so, you know, no harm done, but I could see why they'd want to pull it off, because it's just not up to snuff. The physics do not feel like the original Super Mario, or like Mario at all. They feel, like, really weird and sluggish, and that's why I don't really like playing it. I got to the top five on my second round, and I get to Bowser's Castle, and I just miss the most rudimentary, boring, lame-o jump, because that Mario just, like, lost a ton of speed in the air. It's very strange. But as for Kirby Fighters, yeah, I did get a chance to play around with that a little bit. Honestly, I'm impressed. Compared to the last one, which was the Kirby Gem Apples for the Nintendo Switch. What was that game called?
It was Super Kirby something, wasn't it?
Super Kirby Clash. Super Kirby Clash, that's the one. So that game was, you know, same concept. They used Star Allies graphics to take an idea from the 3DS era and turn it into its own full game. I love that they do that. It's awesome that they are taking all these assets from all these Kirby games. They've got stuff from Triple Deluxe. They've got references to the Game Boy Advance games. They've got characters from the NES one. I mean, it is an awesome offering. But it's not free of its own problems. Just like the Kirby Clash that also came to Switch. For some reason, in every mainline Kirby game, you can customize your controls, but you can't in these two titles. Why? I don't know. I mean, like, pick a lane, guys. Either I can make Y do the inhale, or I can't. And I'm used to playing Kirby since the Super Nintendo, which, you know, use the Y button for that and use B for jump. But over like nowadays, it's A to jump and then B to attack, and that's how they default the games now. But in Star Allies, you can switch it. And so you switch it and you get used to that, and then you play one of these spin-off games and it's like, no, this isn't how you control Kirby. It's just the weirdest thing. Like, they have all the ability in the world to just implement these controls, but they don't. Who knows why? So that's definitely a gripe I have with the game. I also don't like the emphasis on Kirby copy abilities. I feel like there's enough Kirby characters to where you could just make them the focus. Like, rather than having, regular Kirby and Sword Kirby and Bomb Kirby, like, you can just add in the ally characters who are all entirely playable, fully animated in the Star Allies code set. So, like, instead of Hammer Kirby, you get Bonkers, or you get DD. Instead of, Chef Kirby, you could put Kawasaki in there. And I don't even think Chef Kirby's in the game, but you get my point. That you can put other characters in. You could put Bugsy instead of, like, a suplex ability. And so I wish there was less of an emphasis on a bunch of different Kirby's fighting and more of an emphasis on the rich lineage of characters that you can find in Kirby. I mean, and you know from the Star Allies DLC that they can have a cast of like 20 different characters with entirely unique movesets without reusing Kirby at all. So I'm not huge on that aspect, but that's more of a taste thing. I can see that argument going either way. As far as how the game plays, it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's not a tremendous amount of depth. It's kind of like a watered down combination of the mainline Kirby games and some elements that you might find in Super Smash Brothers, which kind of originally came from Kirby anyway. It's kind of confusing, but let's roll with it. You can either do team battles or a battle royale, and it's just kind of fun. You just brawl out with your abilities. You can defend, you can dodge, you can grab, and the grab move is Kirby's inhale, and you can use it at close range to break their guards, and all the abilities and combos and things that you expect from using the abilities in Star Allies are present. I can't imagine this game is very balanced at all. Like, Kirby Star Allies was never made as a fighting game, and so I can just see this game having like those three or four abilities that entirely dominate, but I don't know enough about the game yet to see that. But the new wrestling ability is cool. It's kind of like a combination between the suplex and the fighter abilities, where you've got a lot of different grab moves, you've got powerful fighting moves, but he moves a little sluggish, so not quite as quick as the fighter Kirby. And they added a few of the characters that you want from the past games. They've got Magalore, Gooey, Bandana D, and of course Meta Knight and King Dedede. So they've got a few of those guys. Not enough, in my opinion, but maybe we'll see them eventually add those characters, or maybe Kirby Fighters 3 will have it. But yeah, I'm just impressed by the attention to detail. The stages are awesome. They reuse elements from all these past Kirby games, and it's not a whole lot of work for them to do this. And, for that reason, they're not charging much of a price for it. I just wish every Nintendo franchise got the Kirby treatment, where there was just like a pretty healthy amount of like every few years you're going to get a mainline series game, every few years or a few times, like maybe like once a year you're going to get some type of spin-off game or some type of mini game. And like, I would take a small scale $20 little Donkey Kong side adventure. Give that to me. Just reuse the Tropical Freeze assets. I would love to see other Nintendo franchises experiment with what Kirby's doing, because there's just always something new to do with the Kirby franchise, and I really appreciate that. This is a cool game. I can't wait to play it with you to do the story mode co-op. I'm very excited about that. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, you'll have to get it a try soon.
Yeah, I am excited to try it out myself. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but I definitely will.
Now, one other thing that I forgot to note in our show notes, but was the talk of the town this week, is that inside of Kirby Fighters 2, there are files that lead people to believe that they are prototyping or working on a fully 3D Kirby game. And to that I say, give me the rice. I want that game so bad.
Yeah, I know we talked about 3D Kirby on the show in one of the past couple of episodes that we would like to see it. But yeah, I really think that you could do a lot of interesting things there, like using different abilities to traverse the area. Maybe you'd probably have to get rid of the infinite jump that he has. But yeah, I just think there's so much you could do really with a lot of different. I honestly think 3D platformers need to come back in general, because I just feel like there's so many interesting things you can do in those settings. We talk about DK all the time, but yeah, Kirby is definitely another one. And yeah, I think there's a lot of ideas there that they can play with to make it really compelling.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, the emphasis that Kirby places on combat would really distinguish it from something like Super Mario Odyssey or Galaxy. And the way that you would be able to explore the world with Kirby's multiple jumps, which they could just make like, you know, in Smash Brothers and Kirby Air Ride, he just has a limited amount of puffs that he can do before he falls to the ground. You just do something like that and it's easy peasy. But there's, you know, I could see them making more of a Banjo-Kazooie style game where it's more about exploring a big wide open space with Kirby's ability set, and then use different ones to get different abilities to get access to different areas. And yeah, I think they can make something really fun. Or you know, they made a semi 3D game in Kirby's Blowout Blast. I even think that would work. But yeah, I really hope they're working on something, because I am thirsty for a 3D Kirby game. I just miss that genre, man. All we get are just, you know, we get Mario carrying that torch, but even that, we only get like one per system. And so, you know, we just go back to, I guess I'll play Odyssey a fourth time. Well, getting 999 more moons.
Well, if the rumors hold up with Donkey Kong, you know, I've been hearing from people that, you know, we'll have Miyamoto to thank, and it'll be something that as fans we'll all be happy about. So we'll see.
Yeah, there's this dude on Twitter, the Kremlin campaigner, one of the guys really pushing for K. Rool's inclusion in Smash, who's been alluding to a DK game happening. What do you know, man? Who do you know?
Well,
King K. Rool himself?
Yeah.
Is he feeding you this information?
Is he feeding you bananas of information? No, he's associated with DK Vine, which is a fans. I don't know what you would call it, a group of Donkey Kong fans.
A fan site. Remember those?
Yeah. But they've been around really since the old school days of Donkey Kong Country, and they're just fans of Rare's games in general, like Banjo-Kazooie, Conker, all that stuff. And they were the ones who have been saying they have a source that basically gives them information on Donkey Kong from Nintendo. And they've been saying for the past couple of years that in a few years, Nintendo's going to bring back DK in a big way. And I guess it's worth mentioning that Nintendo just out of nowhere today, or not today, but this week, they just put up one of their news stories that you can access on the Switch that kind of just introduces you to Donkey Kong and the history of the character and the franchise. And it is a little left field for them, because they don't really do stuff like that out of nowhere. And
they never talk about Donkey Kong, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And just linking, the biggest thing. They have links to every game that Donkey Kong's included in on the Switch that you can buy. But it does seem like they're trying, like there's little bits of information here and there that would lead us to believe that there's definitely something on the horizon. In the shape of a banana. But, you know, I say all that to say not to devolve this into a Donkey Kong conversation again, but I just think if that holds up, I have a good feeling it'll be a 3D platformer. It could just be a 2D platformer, if anything, but I just have a hunch it would be 3D. And then if this Kirby leak is true within Kirby Fighters 2, the data mine for information about a 3D Kirby game, if that's true, I mean, just having two more games like that on the Switch, I'd be happy with.
Oh, yeah, especially because we already got Kirby Star Allies as a side-scrolling version of Kirby, and we got a really nice port of Tropical Freeze. So, I mean, we get a little 2D Donkey Kong love, too, but I just really want to see them take another crack at DK in 3D, whether that's an action or more of an exploratory title. I just want to see it. So, high hopes, but we'll see what happens, and we'll keep you updated as we normally do. As a last little news story, they've been releasing recent information about Mario Kart Live. Nintendo posted a new trailer for the toy or the game. You could kind of call it both. And shared an interview with the developers, Velan Studios. And I want to talk about just what's going on here a little bit. I'm kind of interested in the game. I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I feel like they'd get a kick out of this. The Hot Wheels tracks take up a lot of space in the house, so having like an imaginary track has a lot of appeal for someone who lives in a pretty small place. But But this studio, I was like, who are these guys and why is Nintendo working with them? Usually they take a lot of the stuff in-house, but this is just another example of Nintendo taking their IP, handing it over to someone with a deal and seeing what they can create. And it's not a Japanese company. It's not a company that they've worked with a bunch of times. It's this studio that's headed by the same guys who founded Vicarious Visions. So they left in 2016, and from, you know, that whole like Activision, yada, yada, yada. But they sold that company to, they sold Vicarious Visions to Activision and, you know, within the Activision umbrella, eventually worked on stuff like Guitar Hero and Skylanders. So these dudes know toys. They know the whole like toy game connection. Cause I mean, Guitar Hero was huge. And then Skylanders was huge. And then they just stopped making them. I guess there's a shelf life on them, but, this is very interesting for the whole Mario Kart game. I might have to give it a whirl, but I just found it interesting. I've never heard of these guys before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does sound interesting. And you brought up the Toys to Life thing. There's been a lot of rumors too, that Skylanders may be making a comeback, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but you know, as far as this goes, yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, that this is even a thing, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes me very excited for the future because, like, you know, obviously we would love to see an entry in, you know, every major Nintendo franchise at least once per console generation, but Nintendo doesn't have unlimited resources. And so cherry picking a developer with some crazy chops here and there, it sounds like it'd be a great idea. I mean, if you want to make a Mario Kart toy to life game, these are the guys to get. I mean, you get the Guitar Hero guys, my boy, it's over. And they're even a little cheaper to work with since they're not under the Activision umbrella anymore. They're independent. I mean, let's go. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I might have to check that out when it comes out, but that's about it for this longer than usual We the People episode. I hope you enjoyed our just massive fire hydrant amount of Smash speculation. We hope to continue to follow that and see our boys get in the game. But that's going to be it for this episode. If you enjoyed the show, we'd really appreciate if you left a kind review. Give us some of those stars. You know, we're trying to collect the 7 stars like I'm Geno, my boy, on iTunes or wherever you listen to this thing. And, you know, whatever other podcast websites that I don't know about. And we'll see you next week, next Friday, for another episode of We the People.